Get ready to be lifted to a higher dimension as you listen to this prophetic and practical teaching. Your life will never remain the same. The entrance of the word brings light. So get ready for a fresh word that will bless and encourage you. And now, here is your teacher.
Second Samuel chapter 11. I'm going to read from verse 1 to verse 5. And it came to pass, after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel. And they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. And it came to pass in an evening tide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself. And the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent and inquired after the woman. And one said, "Is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" And David sent messengers, and they took her. And she came in unto him, and he lay with her. For she was purified from her uncleanness, and she returned unto her house. And the woman conceived, and sent and told David, and said, "I am with child." Praise God. Today, I want us to consider how to balance your physical life with your spiritual life. How to balance your physical life with your spiritual life. Striking a balance between all areas of your life. Every man has a spiritual side of his life, has the physical side of life, has the social side of life, has the professional side of life, has the academic side of life, and all of that. Some even have their church life or their religious life. But all of these compartments that makes up the life of a man. How on earth should we be able to live in such a way that one part, one compartment, one area is not neglected for another? Because when a weight is not properly balanced, the weight is likely going to tilt towards one end. Likely towards the end that the load is more. And so that's why it is important that as Christians, as children of God, as men of God, as husbands, as wives, and most importantly, as the saints of God on earth, we must learn how to put a balance in our lives. Jesus on earth was a God that was moving around in the vehicle of man's flesh. And because he came to exist on earth as a man, he needed to eat the food of men. He needed to sleep on the bed of men. He needed to do day-to-day activities that life generally on earth is involved with. And did that in any way hinder his being God? Did that in any way hinder his ability or his divine ability or the divine instinct in him? He tried to balance every aspect of his life. He was a child when he needed to be a child under the instructions, the advice, and the orders of his parents. You know, one day the Bible says when Jesus was 12, he went with his parents to the Passover feast. And after they have dismissed the Passover, Jesus stayed behind. And the parents didn't know that he had stayed behind. And what was he doing behind? The Bible records that he found himself in a church, as they would call it then, a synagogue or a place of worship. And he sat in the midst of teachers, in the midst of doctors and professors of the word of God, listening to them, asking them questions, and learning from them. He didn't feel the hunger that every normal natural child should crave for. Naturally, the child should want to go home after such a long time of service so that they can go and eat something and freshen up. But no, Jesus stood by behind and was learning, was asking questions. And the parents had gone home. And when they discovered at home that the little boy Jesus was not with them, they started looking for him from one neighbor's house to the next. And then luckily for them, a good neighbor said, "I saw him retreated back while you were going. And I should think that by now he would be in church." And then the parents went back to the church and found him in the midst of the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And the parents were amazed. And they went to him and said, "Why have you put us through so much stress? Do you know how long it took us to trek back home or to pay our way back to this place just to get you?" And Jesus said, "Didn't you know that I ought to be about my Father's business?" Praise God. At that age, he knew what he needed. He said, "Didn't you know that I ought to be about my Father's business? I'm learning the things that will make me think. I'm learning the things that will help me fulfill my destiny. I'm learning the things that will make me relevant to my world. I'm learning the things that will help me do the things that my Father have sent me to do." And you know, the parents behave like parents would normally do. And they said, "Okay, if you are through with learning, can you come back home now?" And you know, Jesus at that point would have said, "Don't you know that I was not formed the way other of your children were formed? Or have you forgotten that it took the Holy Ghost to come upon you, my mother, and then you conceived me and gave birth to me? Can't you give me that respect as a God, even though I am existing in the form of a man?" The Bible said he followed his parents back home, balancing your life. Praise God. He followed them. He didn't say, "This is my Father's house. My Father is your creator. He has a higher authority and he wants me to be here now, and I'm going to be here. Get back home. I will come at my time." Jesus left everything he was learning. He left the beautiful part of the sermon. He forgot about the questions that he asked and was not given answer to yet. He left everything and followed his parents, balancing your life. At the age of 30, he went to the river of Jordan and found John the Baptist, the prophet of that time, baptizing people. And Jesus walked into the sea and asked John to also baptize him. And John, who was very humble, looked at him and said, "I am not even qualified to unbuckle the threads of your shoe. So my Lord, don't ask me to baptize you. It should be you doing that to me." And Jesus said, "I'm going to do it to fulfill all righteousness." Balancing your life. Praise God. What if you were given an opportunity to showcase what you have? Would you not say, "Thank God I was waiting for this opportunity. I'm going to ask my pastor and everyone who has been behaving as if they know everything to sit down and listen to me." Praise God. There are meetings you need to listen and take notes, and there are meetings you need to talk. If you don't know how to balance your life, you are going to get into trouble, even with purpose. Because a lot of persons are going about life and they are dealing with one side of their life. They are busy doing one side, making it fat at one side, and the other end is suffering. My desire for you in this lesson is that God will put so much knowledge in you that you will not just be a Christian who is only relevant to your world, but you will be relevant to the kingdom. And you will not only be a Christian who is relevant to the kingdom and useless to your world, but you'll be relevant to the kingdom of God, and you will also be very relevant to your world. Amen. And if you ask some people who they will want to model their lives after, who they may want to take after, I'm sure that there are a lot of persons that will opt for David's option. I want to be a David. Why would you want to be a David? After all, the Bible says David was a man after God's own heart. God loved him so much that God had to enter into a covenant with David and said, for David, my servant's sake, I will retain at least two thrones in the whole tribe of Israel, that no matter what, for David's sake, I'm going to do it. He loved David so much. But do you also know that David messed up a lot of the time? A wonderful role model, but David was not the best in the scripture. If you want to look at the glamorous side, you will want to be a David so that you can be a king, so that you can tap from the kingly grace, the kingly anointing that was available to David. But can I let you know that there is another role model in the Bible that you should even cut your life around, and that is the man called Joseph. Praise God. That's a man in the face of confrontation, in the face of compromise, he refused to compromise and said, how can I do this great evil and sin against my God? The Bible said he maintained his integrity. He stood his ground and said, no, I'm going to obey God. I'm going to love God. I'm going to stay with God. And at that age, he stuck to what he knew about righteousness. Praise God. David, the Bible says, became a king. And one day, it was time for kings to go for battle. David was a king in the seasons where kings don't stay at home. My prayer for somebody under the sound of my voice is that the devil will not find you at home when you ought to be in church. Praise God. Because when the devil comes to your house and expect to see you, and then you ought to be in church and you are in church, he will meet your absence. But you know, a lot of persons have enjoyed both God's time and their own time put together. Church members in different denominations and different places are doing everything possible to see how they can cut short service time. And you know, the scripture says, 6 days thou shalt do your labor and all your work. But on the seventh day shall be a holy Sabbath unto me, a day that you will reserve for me. Is it too much if God gives you six and asks one for himself? Hello, is it too much? Praise God. But you know, a lot of persons are taking their own six and they want to take God's own one. And said, how do we come to church and spend 4 hours and 5 hours in church? This thing should just be a 2-hour meeting, a 1-hour meeting. In fact, if possible, let it be a 35-minute meeting. And let's go back home and rest. Man is a spirit. He has a soul and lives in a body. We have heard that over and over again. But there is no time that emphasizing the definition of who a man is will be too much. Man is a spirit, he lives in a body, and has a soul. And so, a man consists of two major areas, the physical area and the spiritual area. And suffice me to say this quickly, that it is the spiritual side of a man that controls the physical aspect of his life. The Bible says, a broken spirit who can bear? So, while the devil can creep the physical side, if the spiritual side is active and alive, it will build up the spiritual side again. I love Paul. He said, while my outward man perishes, my innermost mind is renewed day by day. The spirit is likened to the roof of a tree. And the physical life of a man is likened to the leaves that the tree produces. It is the leaf that you see. The green nature of the leaves gives you an idea that the tree is alive. Every tree that is living will always produce green leaves. Am I right? And so when you see the greenness of the leaves on the tree, you are likely going to affirm that that tree is alive and very active. That's what Jesus saw in Mark chapter 11. When he saw the fig trees, the Bible says he didn't see fruit inside, but he saw leaves. And he thought, if this fig tree could produce so much leaf, I'm sure within the leaves there must be some fruit. But when he got a little closer, he discovered to his disappointment that there were no fruit, even though the tree had life. Praise Master Jesus. And so the spirit of a man is likened to the root of a tree, while the physical side of a man is likened to the leaves. And you know, if you cut the root, the leaves will wither. It's a matter of time. Praise God. There are trees that look very leafy, but their roots have been uprooted. And after some times, you will see all the leaves falling down one after the other. But the Bible says there is a hope for a tree, even though it is cut down, but the root is still in the ground. When the root comes in contact with any quantity of water, the Bible says he does what? It springs up again. If your spirit is not yet dead, oh, there is so much hope around him. Praise the Lord. How do I balance my spiritual life and my physical life? It was time, it was season where kings go for battle. But David stayed at home. The physical things of life have withdrawn him from the spiritual exercises that he used to do. Listen to me. 1 Timothy chapter 4, the Bible says, bodily exercise profited little, but spiritual things profited in all things. Let no man deceive you. It doesn't matter how physically endowed you are. If your spirit is lean and weak, you are a toy in the hands of the devil. He can play around with you. Have you not seen people who are very plumby? They are very fat on the outlook, but if you talk with them, they will tell you, I am sick inside. Praise God. So the fatness on the outside is not a guarantee of the health inside. And so God is saying, if we don't do things, something about our spiritual life, everything about the physical will give way. It was time that kings go for battle. David stayed at home. Let me ask you this question, child of God. What would the blessing that God will give to you do to you? If God takes you to the pinnacle of your career, if God takes you to the zenith where you want to be, what will you become in the spirit? David could pray every day. David could go to war. Before he became a king, he was a fighter. In fact, the nation of Israel confessed it when he was enthroned. He said, even when Saul was alive, you were the one who took us out and you were the one who brought us in. So David was a champion. He was a warrior. That is what he was known for. Women composed songs with his name. Saul has slain 1,000, but David has killed his 10,000. Saul demanded for a few skins of the Philistines as a dowry for David to marry his daughter. But David went and killed more than Saul demanded. He was a warrior. He was good at battle. And that's one of the criteria that God saw and said, this man will be able to lead my people in the forefront. But when he became king, the glamour, the prestige of the throne, the authority of the throne kept him behind. There are pastors today who don't pray anymore. In fact, all they do is to organize people and say, pray for me. Praise God. You know, some pastors even pay people. Why? There is nothing absolutely wrong with that. People, these people will be praying for me 24 hours. But the fact that people are praying for you does not exonerate you from praying for yourself. Praise God. I don't do the things anymore. You know, I don't have time to read the Bible anymore. I don't have time to spend in the presence of God anymore. What is the matter? I'm a pastor. I am busy. I'm pastoring a church of 5,000. You know, it's not easy to pastor people like this. You need to meet them. You need to pray for them. You need to counsel them. So no more time for me to pray. Satan loved that kind of a pastor. Praise God. He said, don't worry, pastor them. Counsel them. Visit them from home to home. Don't pray. So that the day I will knock at your door, I will kill you even before them. Praise God. Balancing the spiritual side of your life with the physical side of your life. I love it. When everything in the physical is doing well, but you'll be better off if you are stable and established in the spirit. Praise God. You know, I used to say humorously, if you are sleeping in your dream and you discover that somebody is chasing you and you are running, and then you wake up from the dream and you are panting and breathing high and said, they were chasing me, masquerade were chasing me, go back to sleep and say, God, this time I want to chase them. Praise God. Now, those who chase me, I am coming after you now to chase you. Humans can kill dogs, you know. And so, when the dog chases you in the dream, if your spirit is strong, while you are running, you will find an instrument in your hand that you will use against the dog. But if the spirit is empty, you keep running and sometimes the dog will bite you. Praise God. If a man is a professor in the physical and know nothing about God, that man is as empty as nothing. David could have gone to battle. And if he was in the battlefront, sir, let me tell you this. Do you know in the battlefront, you don't know whether a woman is beautiful or not? Praise God. Now, how can you be able to look at and admire a lady when your enemies are already pointing their guns at you? Goodness sake, you are looking for her. You can defend yourself and blow off the heads of your enemy. And then you are admiring a girl, you are admiring a woman. It's not possible to do these two things in the battlefront. But he was at home enjoying the comfort of his palatial building. God has given him a palace. God has lifted him to become a king. I said, God, it is time for me to relax. Listen to me. A man of God said this, and I loved it. For every new level, there is a new devil. Praise God. For every new level, there is a new devil. There is no point at which you can say, I have arrived where the devil cannot come close. Job was so righteous that God says he was the most righteous in his time. He was the richest in his time. But do you know the devil sought for every means to crack the walls of Job? He couldn't get it and he went to God. He said, God, take away his defense and I'll deal with him and then he will curse you to your face. Amen. The devil wants you to be very busy and doing nothing. I used to say this. The devil knows that giving you money will take you away from God's presence and will give you loads and loads of money. Because the devil is not afraid of your title. He's not afraid of your money. He's not afraid of how much you have in the bank. He's not afraid of how many houses you have built. The devil is afraid of your intimacy with God because he knows what will put him in his place is God's presence with you. And that's what he wants to take away. That's what he wants to snatch. That's what he wants to reduce. He wants to reduce your time with God. He wants to reduce your presence with him. He wants to reduce your intimacy. Because intimacy will give birth to accuracy. When you are intimate with God, you become precise and accurate in the things that you do. No man has the Spirit of God inside of him and ends up a failure. Even in the pit, you are a winner. The Bible says Daniel was thrown into the lion's den But the lions couldn't defeat him because he didn't enter there alone. The spiritual side of his life was so good. Daniel was an hard worker. He worked so hard that the king elected him to be the head of all other governors under his cabinet. And the people didn't like it. Daniel, a stranger, is not a Babylonian. He's an Israelite. He's an Hebrew. How dare Daniel become our head in our own city? We are going to deal with him. And they went to the king and they said, King, can you promulgate a decree that in this city no man should ask anything of any other person apart from the king for 30 good days? They did that because they knew that Daniel was a prayer worm. And they said, if we cannot hold him anywhere, if we put money for him to stake, he will not take it. If we line up women in his hotel room, he will not look at any of them. If we do this or that, he will jump it and pass. But let us hold him in his religion, in his relationship with God. Praise God. And the Bible said the king loved it and signed the decree, and it became a law. And the Bible said when Daniel heard that the decree had been signed, he opened his windows and opened his doors and knelt down and cried to the God of heaven and earth, the God who made the king that made the law. And because they knew Daniel was going to fault that law, they were standing by his door and said, let's wait. He's going to pray. We know that he prays 3 times a day. I pray for somebody under the sound of my voice that the devil will not win you in your own backyard. Let's take away his job. He wouldn't pray again. That's what the devil is saying. And then you go to work tomorrow. They said your job has been terminated. And you come back home and say, God, for disappointing me like this. No more thanksgiving for you. No more early morning prayer. No more family devotion. And the devil said, I knew it. That's what I wanted. Praise God. They waited for Daniel to see whether he will pray. And when they came, they didn't need to peep. Oh, they didn't need to open the door. The door was already open. And they found him kneeling down. And said, God, take away everything from me, but live my spiritual life with me. If I get it in place, everything will fall in place to it. And they went to the king and said, oh king, live forever. In this city, do you know that when you put a law and sign it, it doesn't change? And the king said, true now, what are you talking about? Tell me, what is the matter? He said, there is a man in this province that have flouted your law. And you know the consequences. The man should be thrown into the lion's den. And the king said, who is that? And they said, Daniel. And the king became sad. The Bible says the king did everything possible within his power to help Daniel out of the mess. But he couldn't do it because in that land, when once a decree has been sealed by the king, is an unchangeable decree. But I have good news for you. I have a king that has a biro, that has an ink that is greater than the ink of all the president of the earth, that it doesn't matter what they sign, God can countersign it. The king said, you know, I'm not going to spoil the order of the day so that people will not think that my government is weak. Bring Daniel here. And they brought Daniel. He said, Daniel, I've done everything to help you. But you know, I cannot help you, but the God whom thou servest continually, that God will deliver you from my own punishment. May it come to a point where your enemy know that you are stronger than them. I said, may you serve God. May you be a spiritual giant to the point that your enemy will know, even though he's fighting you, he knows that you will win at the end. Jonathan looked at David and said, I know that you will become a king in Israel. I know it. Praise God. So you must be strong to the extent that your enemy knows that you will win him, but he will still make an attempt. The king said, I've done everything to help you. But the God whom thou servest continually, I leave you to his hand. Whatever he likes to do, let him do. And Daniel was thrown into the lion's den. But the Bible said the king couldn't sleep. Early the next morning he went and cried with a lamentable voice. Daniel, servant of the Most High God, has the Lord your God, whom thou servest continually, been able to deliver you? What if he didn't hear a response? He would have been disappointed in God. And the king shouted, "Hey, get him out of that place." And every time they brought Daniel out of one trouble, they promoted him. Praise God. If the spirit is intact, every other thing will fall in place. David forsook prayers. David forsook his relationship with God and stayed and was receiving fresh air on the balcony of his palace. There is nothing wrong to enjoy the blessings of God as long as it is a righteous enjoyment. But don't take your enjoyment to the extreme. You say, "God has blessed me so much with money, I don't know what to do. I need to marry the second wife." Praise God. You are calling for trouble. And then David was moving and moving and saw a woman that was thinking about, couldn't he have removed his eyes? Praise God. Who says you must take what you see? And David said, "After all, God told Abraham, as far as your eyes can see, I've given it to you. If I have seen this one, it's my own." Praise God. And then David sent, "Go and make inquiries." I like that. He asked questions. Who is she? She's a beautiful lady. Praise God. And I'd like you to know this. This is on the flip side. Every woman is beautiful when naked. Amen. Hello. Men will understand what I'm talking about. Every woman is beautiful when naked. That's why you will not be surprised to see people sleep with mad people. Praise God. Physically, that mad woman was not beautiful. Amen. And so David could have thought to himself, "This is a naked woman I just saw. Why can't I wait until she's fully dressed? Let me be able to ascertain." But he made inquiries. And they came and said, "Oh king, respectfully, we want to tell you, that lady you are talking about, her name is Bathsheba. But that's not the end of the introduction. She is the wife of Uriah the Hittite, who is also fighting in the battlefront." And David sent for her. He did that because he was a king. If he wasn't a king, they would have questioned him, "Why are you sending for another man's wife?" But because he was a king, nobody could question him. Be careful when you get to a place where nobody can question you. Be careful when you get to a place where you are not accountable to anybody. Be careful when you get to that point, when you get to that place where you think you are the Lord. Be careful when God takes you to a position where everybody is your subject and you are the only lion that roars. Be careful. Some men have abused that position. "I am the man here. I am the husband. Listen to me." Praise God. "I have to eat what I want to eat. I am your husband. What is wrong with you?" Praise God. Be careful when you get to that place where no man can advise you. When you get to that place where you can no more listen to people. Be careful when you get to that point where even when people have what to tell you, they are afraid to tell you. Be careful. Because sometime in life, we will get to that point where people have advice for us, but they cannot advise us because of the positions we have attended. If you were not a king, they would have said, "David, that is wrong," but he was a king. You don't dare talk to kings like that. Amen. And that's why it is important that you balance your spiritual life to be in tandem with the new place God is taking you to. Otherwise, if your spiritual life is smaller than your position will swallow you. If you see a politician, if he wants to become a governor, he will begin to seek for power. Human power, spiritual power. Praise God. And so that's why you see politicians, governors, and presidents going from one native doctor to the other, from one church to the other. What are they looking for? They have money. They are not looking for money. They have connection. They are not looking for connection. What are they looking for? They are looking for power, because it is power that will keep them there. And so may you not get to a place where you don't have power enough to keep you there. Praise God.
Because positions can disgrace you. David got to that place where no one could talk to him, where no one could advise him, where no one could say no to him. He sent people and they went. You know, when you have ADCs, you have people that are working for you, you have talks, you can tell them, I want that man gone down. They say, sir, your will is our command. And they are going to kill the man. Praise God. They go and come back. And they say, sir, the work is done. And they say, no problem. You kill people at will. You leave those you want to be alive. And kill those you want to kill. Be careful when you get there. Because that is the point where the devil is waiting for you. Praise God. David sent for the woman. And the Bible said they went and took her. Now, I'm careful with the language of the scripture. They took her. They didn't ask for opinion. The king wants you. What is the matter? Doesn't he know that I'm married? He wants you. And the woman wants to obey the king, and he went to the king's house. And the next thing the Bible says, he lay with her. In other words, whether she accepted or not, he lay with her. Praise God. And that was it. One moment of pleasure contaminated his generation. One moment of pleasure took away the juice from the fruit he would have enjoyed permanently. One moment of pleasure removed all the liquid that was ever present. And he did that and sent the woman back. He said, you can go. Now, I have gotten what I wanted. The devil said, that's fine. Some weeks after, a message came. I discovered that I've missed my period. Praise God. And you know that you can't accuse my husband because he's not been around. So, it must be you, David. And then David sat down and said, now, I'm the king, what do I do? King, what do you do? King, the king is in trouble now. The king is in trouble now. What do I do? He lost it in the spirit. If his spiritual life was intact, he would have listened when God said, don't touch that woman. She is a woman. Your wife also is a woman, but both of them are different. Your mother is a woman. Your sister is a woman. Your wife is a woman, but you cannot sleep with all of them. Am I right? Praise God. But they are all women. If his spiritual life was intact, God would have shown him there's danger waiting. Jesus looked at Peter and said, Peter, Satan desired to sift you like a wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. And when you are raising up, help your brethren. I have prayed for you. Satan wants to scatter you. Satan wants to take away the substance inside of you. I have prayed for you. How are you treating your spiritual life? Coming to church has become a problem to you. In fact, why do we need to go to church 2 times in a week? What do we need Bible study for? Bible study have become a program for those who are extremist Christians. You know, it's just Sunday service. We need to go and sit down there and listen to one man babbling and babbling and babbling. What is he talking about? Praise God. Spiritual life. Prayer meeting. You don't pray. And then it amazes me that the people that have problem the more are the people that don't bother about their spiritual life. They are looking for oil. They are looking for handkerchiefs. Praise God. They say, when you carry this handkerchief, enter to the interview room. And while you are talking, just find a way of bringing it out. And wave it like this and clean your face. And then you'll be okay. I had a testimony of a man that he received one of such mantles. When he received it and he went for the interview, he was actually brilliant, a very intelligent young man. And then, before he entered the interview, he just cleaned his face with his mantle and put it in his pocket. And then he entered there, they asked him some questions. He did very well and they gave him the contract. And then, like 2 Sundays after, he was in church and he was to give testimony. And then he came out, and that Sunday there was a child dedication. So a lot of people came with the family who were dedicating their children, not knowing to him that there are some people who came from that company that just awarded him contract, who were also in the interview panel. And so he is in the congregation shouting and saying, "Praise God. In fact, God has done it. I went for that interview. When I removed my mantle and cleaned my face, I got all of them confused. And they gave me the contract." And one of them who was in the panel listening, and when they went to work the following day, they revoked the contract. And so when he went to receive mobilization, they said the contract has been revoked. Now, what happened to the mantle? Praise God. Amen. He should have known that it's not only the mantle. Praise God. Amen. My prayer for you is that you should not be sleeping when you ought to be praying. Why men slept? The enemy came and sought us. Amen. David messed up his life. Until today, if there is one regret in the life of David, is that incident with Bathsheba. That is one thing David will wish was not there at all. God told David that you have done it in the secret, but I'm going to do your own in the open. David's son slept with his concubines. There are things that is better avoided. Praise God. And I'll say, let me try. The major reason for non-fulfillment of destiny in the lives of many is due to substituting spiritual life for physical life, or putting the physical life above the spiritual. One of the reasons why so many will not fulfill their destiny, will not get to the peak of their life, is because they have substituted the spiritual life for the physical. Some parents can do this, for instance. Your children want to watch some movies. They say, "Don't watch." They will not watch. Don't work with this kind of a person. Don't go to that kind of a place. Praise God. Now, those are good advices or good instructions. But you know, those instructions and advices will not hold water sometime in their life. They are going to get to an age where they will choose to do what they want to do. But you know the best. The best is inculcating the right values in them. When the right values are in them, it will help them to decide what not to do and what to do, whether you are there or not. Do you understand what I'm saying? When you put the right values in them, when you make them understand who they are in Christ, you don't need to tell them who to walk with. They will make a choice of who not to walk with. Praise God. But if all your training for your children is about don't, they will get to a point where they believe, "Mommy and Daddy are just doing this because we are children. Let them wait when I become an adult. I will do what I like." Praise God. "Let them wait as soon as I go to boarding school. I will choose my style." But when you put the right thing in them, plant the right seed in them, they know who they should follow, who they should listen to, the kind of music they should dance to, and the kind of movies they should watch. They already know it. Praise God. So even if friends will gather them and take them out and they say, "Drink whatever you like," you will see them sit in the midst of bad friends. Others are taking beer. They say, "Is there malt? I want to take malt." They say, "Why are you not taking beer? Take, don't worry, we are going to pay." And he will tell them, "I don't take it." Praise God. Not because the father told him that beer is bad, but because there is a seed inside of him that has been planted. Spiritual side of life. If you will fulfill your destiny, if you will do it well, it is better that you check the spiritual side of your life, because that is the anchor to the physical side of your life. God told me, "I need you to sit down and work for me and do this work for me." And I was looking at my chemical engineering certificate. I said, "So all this one is going to be a waste." But that's the spiritual side of life. Praise God. And God said, "Take care of it." And I like to encourage you, children of God, there will be no need for you to run from pastor to pastor, from prophet to prophet, if you do the things you need to do about your spiritual life. Hello? I used to say that I want to get to a point where I'm able to raise children, where I'm able to raise Christians who will come to church and say, "Pastor, yesterday night the devil paid me and my husband a visit, but we dealt the pastor. This is the certificate of our victory." Praise God. Not the ones who will run away because of headache. If you keep carrying your load, every time that the devil knocks at your house, you know, go feel unfinished. Amen. Develop your spiritual life. The righteous shall be like a lion. They shall be bold as a lion. Who can look at the devil and say, "Devil, I'm not waiting for you to come to me. I'm coming to your house to take my belonging." That's the Christian God is looking for. He said, right from the day of John the Baptist, even up till now, the kingdom of God suffered violence, and the violence taking it by force. God is looking for children of Israel who will stand to their boss, who tell them, "You need to sleep with me if you must be promoted." And the girl look at the boss and said, "Listen to me and listen carefully. You can take your job, you can take your promotion, but you can't have me on your bed." Praise God. Not the one who will say, "Oh God, I beg." Try to understand. I lost my father when I was 3 years old. And now, I have 6 younger brothers and 2 younger sisters. 8 together. If you add me 9 plus my mother 10. All of them are my responsibility. If you take this job away from me now, what will I do? Please help me. And the man will say, "I know. That's why I want to help you." Gradually, you are compromising. Say, "That's why I want to help you. You know, if you do this now, I will even be adding money." "How much is your salary?" He said, "Ogana, 40,000. He said, "40,000. And you have all your brothers, including you and your mother, 10? 40,000, you know, it will not be enough. That's why I want to help you. God is sending me as a help. Let's just do this thing together. Maybe at the end of month, I had about having extra 40,000. Okay, for the good, though. Praise God. Amen. And before you know it, it is settled. Amen. Spiritual life. Joseph said, "Potiphar's wife, you are beautiful. I like you as my boss's wife, but not as my mistress. My dream is bigger than this, your husband's parlor. My dream is bigger than that, your husband's bedroom. If I sleep with you now, I will become a little freer. But that will not make me free before God. So forget about this thing you are talking about. There is a place I am going." And the woman said, "You don't understand what I'm talking about. If you do this thing with me, you know what kind of right you will have." And Joseph said, "I have the bragging right as a slave in this house. Potiphar has handed over everything to me. But I can't remember the last time he said I should also take care of you. So woman, stay in your boundary and let me stay in my boundary." And the woman said, "No, you are too handsome. You know, we need to get together." And one day she grabbed him and said, "Whether you like it or not, you are going to have a taste of this thing. Because if you taste it today, you will keep coming after and after again." And Joseph said, "Woman, listen to me. When I was in my father's house, my brothers took my coat of many colors. I didn't fight with them. So I won't fight you for this slavery coat. You can take it away and let me go with my life." The woman took away his coat of slavery. And he said, "If you can take the coat and leave me alone, God will put another coat on my body." Take away the physical thing. Leave my spiritual life intact. Because if my spiritual life is there, if the devil has not stopped me from praying, if he cannot stop me from relating with my God, I know that one day God will make a way for me. They told Paul and Silas, "In this name, you will no longer be able to preach." Put them in prison. Flog them. The whippings of their life. Put them in chains. And put them inside the dark room. And in the midnight, the man says, "You can put our hands together, put our legs together, bind them with your rope. But if you cannot stop our voice from raising it to this God, we will keep doing it." And in the middle of the night, where every other person was asleep, They started singing and praising God and praying, and God sent an earthquake. And the Bible said the foundations of the prisons where they were was shaken, and their chains got broken. It doesn't matter how poor you are. If your spirit is right, it will provoke wealth around you. Take a man that has the Lord into the forest, and he will make a forest to become a city. The Bible says Isaac dug another well. They strove with him and covered it. He went again and dug the second well. They strove with him and they closed it. And he went and dug the third well, and there was nobody to quarrel with him. He said, God has given us a room. Now we will be fruitful. I pray that you will have a room in the realm of the spirit. I said, may your voice be heard in the realm of the spirit. In the name of Jesus. What are you doing to balance your spiritual life? Some pay all attention to spiritual things and neglect the physical side, which in turn causes their lives and those around them to break down in mediocrity. There are other set of people who pay so much attention to spiritual side and neglect the physical side. Can I say this to you? The fact that you are a spiritual man should not stop you from learning. I listened to somebody in my office who told me he just had admission into the university, and he said God says he should not go to school, that he wants to use him. And I said, you need to go and check that very well. The fact that God wants to use you is not enough to stop you from going to school. In fact, he will use you more if you are educated. Do you know there are things I cannot do if I was not educated? Oh, you need to believe that. Praise God. There are places I cannot go if I'm not educated. There are places I will not be invited to talk. Praise God. Because you will not be able to communicate. There are some people that paid more attention to the spiritual side of their life. In the office, they are speaking in tongues, kabashing. When they are supposed to be walking, bah, 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 jegede, bah, 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 they will sack you. They will sack you. They will sack you. Are you hearing me? Praise God. Go to the office, you just resume by 8 a.m. You're just supposed to do some official work, and you are sitting there and they are putting your head in between your knees. I say, no, I am Elijah of my time. Fire must come down in this office. All the witches and wizards in this office, in this place of work, God will deal with them. If the MD meets you rolling your head left and right like that in his office, you will explain. Praise God. Amen. That's not to say that prayer is bad. But you learn to do necessary adjustment and learn to do balancing. Praise God. Hallelujah. Are you hearing me? Amen. In fact, when I enter a bus to travel, whether somebody prays in the bus or not, or whether I pray in the bus, it may not make any difference because I prayed at home. Are you hearing me? Praise God. I've already taken care of the journey from my bedroom. So in case I enter the bus and I can't pray, because you can enter a bus and you stand up to pray and everybody say, don't pray, keep quiet. Does it mean everybody's going to die on that trip? No, I've already taken care of it somewhere. Praise Master Jesus. So don't be too spiritual. In examination hall, we don't speak in tongues, we answer questions. Hello? Praise God. If you enter examination hall and then they give you question paper and you look at the question, when you see number one, number one, they say, define physics. You say, Bali Bajogaya, Bala Badaya, Baribuza Kataya Baba. Oh God, where are you? Oh God, where are you? Oh God, where are you? It will not make any difference. Define physics will still wait for you until you finish. Praise God. Amen. There are people who have neglected the physical side of their life and made their families to suffer, to go through unnecessary hardship. If your husband is always fasting every day, Monday to Friday, is fasting, is not going to tap him. Tell him we are still on earth. Go out. Praise God. Because man shall not live by bread alone. A man shall not also live by the word of God alone. It's a combination of the two. So if your husband, he wakes up and says, my dear, we need to pray. I say, my dear, there is no breakfast this morning. And I say, we need to pray. My dear, the children's school fees has not been paid. We need to pray. Gather the children. Let them come and pray. On Monday, they ought to be in school. We shouldn't be doing prayer meeting when children are supposed to be in class. Praise God. Let's find a way of sending them back to school and then we will pray. Praise the Lord. You know, somebody comes looking for you and he say, my dear, I'm very hungry. I need to eat something. I say, oh, my sister, the Lord is good. Put your hands in my hands and let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I want to thank you for making it possible that human beings feel hungry. And human beings can also be filled. Look at this sister. No, that's not what we are looking. If you have food, give her food to eat. Forget about this prayer thing. Some of us, we hide under spirituality. Laziness makes some people to become unnecessarily spiritual. Praise God. Your mates are there looking for job, working. You are coming to lie down in the church, rolling from one end to the other. Rolling from one end to the other. When hunger mama you will know. Praise God. Go to the market and sell. When you come back and pray. Paul say, I want you to do your work with your both hands so that you will not have any need to beg. Praise God. Jesus had a physical life. He had a family. He attended wedding ceremonies. He was hungry. He got angry. He spoke to people. He was received as a guest in different houses. He led a bunch of men around. He slept. He woke up and all of that. But in all this, his spiritual life was the center of all that he did. His walk with God directed all the other things he did in the flesh. Praise God. He went for wedding programs like we do. He attended marriage ceremonies. He visited people. But in all that he did, he never neglected the spiritual side of his life. The Bible says, sometime while people are gathered looking for him, he will withdraw and go to a solitary place and there he will pray. Praise God. See, when you take care of the spiritual side, the physical side becomes a commonplace. Can you imagine Jesus just stepping out and they're bringing a boy that is possessed? And Jesus looked at the demon and said, come out of him and don't make noise. And the devil is coming out. And the people are looking and say, what is happening here? But we didn't see him do any magical things. He did it behind. He has already taken care of the spiritual side of his life. When the devil comes knocking at home, what do you do first? How do you know people that have not taken care of their spiritual side? You will discover that anytime there's challenge, they look for a physical solution first. Praise God. Something has just happened and they are looking for a physical solution. What do I do? Oh, where's that my Panadol? In fact, he's just crawling everywhere. Where's that my Panadol? And if there is no Panadol in that house that night, they say, that means I don't die now. Praise God. That means that my own don't finish. Oh God, how on earth did Panadol finish and I didn't know? Panadol can finish, but God never finish. Praise God. So if that one is not there, you check out the spiritual standpoint and said, God, I want to decree something in the realm of the spirit regarding this matter. And then every other thing can follow. I pray that the spiritual side of your life will be the strong anchor of your life. That you will be stronger in the realm of the spirit. That you will do everything to feed your spirit. To make your spirit fat. So that when the devil comes knocking, you'll be able to look at the devil at his face and say, devil, you are too small. Praise God.